Okay, let's go ahead and get started. So what I want to do today is to talk about state, wow, if I can figure out how to spell, state space feedback design. And in particular, sort of dive into this problem of how do you design a state space feedback that gives the desired dynamics for a system? And so, in particular, we want to look at a linear system, so we're going to focus on linear systems. And we want to try and define a feedback control law that causes this linear system to do something. And in fact, what we're going to do today is going to kind of capture the stabilization as well as tracking. So remember that I said one of the things that you can do is to try and track a reference. I'll call it a reference in this lecture. Where what I have is I have some signal R, which is a reference value. And what I would like is I'd like to design a feedback U equals some alpha of X and R, my reference, such that Y of T approaches R as T approaches infinity. So think of R as the speed that you want your cruise controller to go, right? So 55 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, whatever it is. The voltage level that you want your electrical generating system to go. The number of hairs that you want in the predator-prey problem, right? You have some reference that defines what you want your system to do. And you would like that the output of your process converge to that reference value as time increases. And, of course, you want to do that in a stable way somehow, right? So we've got to get stability in there, too. So we're going to think of that in terms of a block diagram as something like this. I've got my process, x dot equals ax plus bu, y equals cx plus du. So this has some output y and some input u. And I'm going to define a controller, which I'll put more structure on in a second, that takes in some input R as well as the output of the system Y and produces this input. So this is alpha. Sorry, not Y. I'm going to do it differently. So that's Y. I'm going to draw, when I want it to kind of pull the state out, I'm going to do it like this. So this is X. Okay. So I'm assuming here that I have access to the full state of my dynamical system that I'm controlling. So this is the process that I'm controlling. Biological, ecological, technological, informational, whatever it is, whatever process you're trying to control. I'm going to look, I have access to the internal state that describes that. I have the ability to change the input for that. I have some reference of what I want to do. So the problem that we want to look at today is how can we solve this problem? And we're going to look at a particular control structure for doing that. Namely, we're going to assume that we put some feedback minus kx. So this part is just u equals minus k times x. And we looked at this a little bit already on Monday. And so I'd like to have this, let's say, stabilize the system, stabilize an equilibrium point. But the natural equilibrium point for this is x equals 0, u equals 0, right? And so this would stabilize, for example, x equals 0. And that's not quite what I want, because if x is equal to 0 and u is equal to 0, y is equal to 0, I want y equal to r. And so we're going to add on a piece to this, which is some kr times r. And this is a summation. And so the design question is, find a K. So where does K live? K is a row vector of length n which I'm going to multiply by the state, which is a column vector of height n, to get a scalar. And then I also want to find kr, that's just a real number that multiplies my reference value, such that the resulting equilibrium point, xe, ue, so there's some, I'm assuming that when I plug in this u, right, so let's just write down the closed loop system. Right, so the closed loop system is x dot equals ax plus b, u is going to be minus kx plus krr, y equals cx plus d minus kx plus krr. All right, that's just plugging in u. Well, that's why I did that. Okay. And so this is now a dynamical system of the form x dot equals f of x. R is a parameter, right? So r is sitting here, but it's really the dynamical state is just x. R is some constant that I've set ahead of time. And so I can talk about the equilibrium point for this. Once I find xe is an equilibrium point, then if I give you xe and I know what r is, that gives me what ue is, right? So in other words, I have a resulting equilibrium point, which let's just call it xe, and ue is the input that to the plant, the process rather, that holds it there. So I want that the resulting equilibrium point be asymptotically stable, and I want that the ye corresponding to that, namely cxe plus due, be equal to r. I want to, right, have an equilibrium point that I'm asymptotic, I'm approaching as t goes to infinity, such that the output is exactly the desired output. Okay. So this is called the tracking problem, and you'll sometimes hear this called a, well, right, so this is a reference tracking problem. So R is the reference, and I want to track the value of that reference. In our analysis, we're assuming that R is a constant given ahead of time, 55 miles an hour, right? 65 miles an hour. But so it's constant. But of course, what we're going to do eventually is that we're going to allow it to change over time slowly, right? So you say go 55, now go 60, now go 65, and you want it to stabilize to each of those values. Okay? All right, so does the problem that I want to solve make sense? So the question is, how do I design K? How do I design KR? Right? All right, so we're going to simplify it a little bit. Everything carries through. We're going to go ahead and assume that there's no direct term, D. So we'll assume that that term's zero, just to simplify some of the algebra. So I'll take y equal to cx. Okay, so we saw some of this on Monday. So what's the closed loop look like? So just simplifying this a little bit, we get x dot equals a minus bk times x plus, is it plus? Yeah, plus bkr times r. And this has an equilibrium point given by xe equals minus a minus bk inverse times bkr times r. Right? So all I did was I said there's an equilibrium point, x dot must equal to zero. Right? Then I solve the resulting equation, so pull the bkr to the other side, invert this matrix out. Right? And you're left with this matrix inverse times BKR times R and a minus sign because I had to pull to the other side. Okay. So now I've got an equilibrium point. I can now ask, I can define Z equal to X minus XE. Right? So I want to shift my origin to zero, shift my equilibrium point rather to the origin, to zero. And I can write down what z dot is. So z dot is going to be equal to x dot. X dot is given here. X, I can replace with the equivalent z piece, so that's z plus xe, and then plus bkr times r. Okay. So that's shifting the equilibrium point to the origin. Now I can plug in that value of the equilibrium point, so I'm going to get a minus bk times z plus a minus bk times xe is going to cancel out this a minus bk term, right? Because it's the inverse. So this is going to become plus minus bkr times r, right? Just canceling out those two factors, plus bkr times r, right? And so these two terms cancel. And I'm just left with that. All right? So, this is exactly the problem that we looked at. That is, if I'm given a matrix A and a control input, a dynamics matrix A and a control matrix B, find a vector K such that A minus BK has all of its real parts of all of its eigenvalues in the left half plane. Right? So the stability part of this is to choose K such that the real part of lambda I is less than zero for all lambda I in the eigenvalues of A minus BK. So for any eigenvalue of A minus BK, I want the real part less than zero. And the sort of design part is given desired eigenvalues, lambda 1 up to whatever number of states you have, find K such that lambda, such that the eigenvalues of A minus BK are exactly the set lambda 1 up to lambda n. Right? That's the design of dynamics. Right? So I can just say find a K such that it's stable, or I can say find a K that gives me a specific set of eigenvalues that are what I want it to do. And on Friday, with Steve Wado, you talked some about, for second order systems, for example, and overshoot and other things, and I'll kind of come back to that toward the end. Okay. So I need to solve this problem. I need to show how do you find such a K, right? I told you already you can find such a K by using the place command, right, in MATLAB. But how do you really do it? I mean, what's place doing underneath, right? Why is this possible? How does this relate to reachability? So I need to do that. Before we do that, let's also just solve the tracking part of this. So the tracking part is that we need to choose KR, right, such that the output at equilibrium, which is C times the state at equilibrium, is equal to the desired R. Right? Because that's the other part of the specification. I want it not only to be stable about the equilibrium point, I want the equilibrium point to be such that I get my reference value as my output. And we can do that just by plugging in, right? So we know what C times XE is. XE is written over there. A minus BK inverse B times KR R equals R. So the R's cancel out. It's just a scalar number. This, right, is a row vector for C times a square matrix for A minus BK inverse times a column vector. So this whole thing is just a scalar. Right? I take a matrix times a column vector, I get a column vector. I take a column vector of height n times a row vector of width n, I get a number. Right? And so then I can just take that number and bring it to the other side of the equation. And so in particular, KR should be 1 over C A minus BK inverse B. Yeah? Oh, yes, thank you. Where'd the negative sign? Right there, right? Because XE is minus that. Thank you. Right? So just notice that the KR, shift it up a little bit so it clears the whole thing. KR depends on K. So you have to first design your control law and then choose your reference gain KR. If you change the feedback gain, so I guess I should label some of these things. So we'll use the terminology of calling this minus K the feedback gain because it's in a feedback loop. And this KR we'll often call the feed forward. Sorry, I should write it out. Feed forward. Because all I'm doing is I'm feeding forward some multiple of the reference into the control loop. But there's no control loop around it, right? There's no feedback loop around this gain. So we call this feedback because there's a feedback loop, this feed forward because there's not. So the feed forward gain depends on the feedback gain. If you change the feedback gain, you have to change the feed forward gain. Okay, so to some extent, we're done if you are willing to simply use MATLAB to solve this problem, right? So in particular, if I were to give you on a midterm exam a problem in which I said, right, find the gains that place the poles and track some output, right, then at a MATLAB level, the way that you would do it is that you would first find the desired equilibrium point, linearize around that equilibrium point. For a linear system, it will always turn out that, right, this matrix A minus BK is the same one that you would have gotten independent of what the reference value is, right? So if R equals 0, you'll get this too, right? It's always the same. So you don't need to bother doing the change of coordinates, etc. It's always going to give you A minus BK. So once you have that, then you'll put the eigenvalues where you want them using the place command, and then once you have that gain matrix, you'll plug it in here. Right? You should worry about whether or not this is invertible. Right? So one thing that's easy to check is that if this is not invertible, right, it will have an eigenvalue at 0. Right? An eigenvalue at 0 is not consistent with having the real part strictly less than 0. So if the real part of the eigenvalue is strictly less than 0, this will always be invertible. So this will always work. All right, so what I want to do next is to then dive into, okay, yeah, but suppose that you don't have MATLAB or you'd like to understand something symbolically rather than numerically, right? Because MATLAB can only solve numeric problems. What can we say about the choice of gain? And remember that I put up a theorem that said that you can place the eigenvalues arbitrarily if the AB pair is reachable, and so I'd like to sort of show that. All right. Before I do that, questions on the problem setup. Make sense? Okay. All right. So let me first do a couple of examples, and then I'll prove the general statement about that this can always be done and that you can place the eigenvalues arbitrarily. All right. So as a first example, I'm going to do an example that turns out to be equivalent to the vehicle steering example that was one of the homework problems and is the course project, or part of the course project for most of you. And it turns out that in that case, you can appropriately linearize the system so that the dynamics, it's 1, 0, yep, look like that. I think I'm going to switch colors, that one's not so bright. So I'll leave it to you to go look at how to do that. There's an example in the book in chapter 5 that sort of shows how to do that if you haven't seen it before. But you can essentially put the dynamics into this form. And so now, independent of what this system is, it turns out to be vehicle steering, it could be any other system that has this particular dynamics, I want to do my control design. So let's do that by just kind of plugging things in a general way first and seeing what is it that we can affect. And so let's choose u equal to k, and I'm going to just write that out as, so minus kx plus krr, and I'm going to write k as k, oops, k1, k2, right? So it's a vector of gains, and if I just multiply that out, it's minus k1 x1 plus k2 x2 plus krr. So your design degrees of freedom are, you get to choose K1, you get to choose K2, you get to choose KR. And the question is, what freedom do you have in changing the dynamics of this system, and what freedom do you have in setting the output of this system? So let's plug that in and see what happens. So let's look at A minus BK. So what's A minus BK? So the A matrix is 0, 1, 0, 0, minus the B matrix is alpha 1, the K matrix is K1, K2. So multiplying that out, that's 0, 1, 0, 0, minus alpha K1, alpha K2, K1, K2. That should be the product of those two. And so that is alpha minus alpha K1, 1 minus alpha K2, 0, oh sorry, K minus K1, minus K2. Right? And if I want to calculate out the eigenvalues of that, I take the determinant of Si minus A. Right? This will give me the characteristic equation for this matrix. And so that's going to be the determinant of S plus alpha K1, alpha K2 minus 1, K1, S plus K2. And if I... Question? No. No? Okay. Okay. And if I calculate out the determinant, if I did the math right, this is S squared plus alpha K1 plus K2 times S plus K1. Okay? So that's just, right, product of these two minus product of those two, and simplified out a little bit. Okay. All right. So, what freedom do I have in this characteristic equation to set the eigenvalues? I get to choose K1 and K2. The eigenvalues of this are determined by the coefficient in front of the S term and this term, right? So let's just note that if we want our desired closed-loop polynomial to be S squared plus 2 zeta omega 0 S plus omega 0 squared, right? That would be a typical response for a second-order system, and we can set the damping ratio to get the step response like we want, right? So on Friday we talked about, you know, how do the damping ratio and the natural frequency correspond to step responses and frequency responses. And this is essentially, for eigenvalues with real negative part. Turns out that if zeta is positive and omega zero is positive, this will have all eigenvalues with real negative part, and this is the most general form for that. So any eigenvalues with real negative part you can write in this form. So that takes a little bit. But let's note that if I choose K1 equal to omega 0 squared and K2 equal to minus alpha K1, which is omega 0 squared, that's K2, plus 2 zeta omega 0, then I get this characteristic equation. And so in particular, if I think of this is the desired characteristic equation, I can always find K1 and K2 to make it anything. In fact, you can see that I can get any eigenvalues I want. They don't even have to be stable, right? You give me any you give me two eigenvalues. Suppose that you want, here's another way of saying it, or you give me S minus, well, let's say plus, so we keep it the right way. Which way do I want? I want minus, right? So suppose you want eigenvalues lambda 1 and lambda 2, arbitrary. Then, of course, that's S squared minus lambda 1 plus lambda 2 times S plus lambda 1, lambda 2. And I can similarly solve for what the K1 and the K2 are that give me this closed loop set of eigenvalues. So in this example, I can arbitrarily place the eigenvalues anywhere I want. I can design the dynamics. So this seems maybe specific to this example, but it certainly works in this case. It also gives me the explicit gains that I use. So if I say, what are the gains that you use? You would use a formula like this and say, this is how I find the gains. All right, clear how I work that easy example? All right, so two-dimensional, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so now we want to prove the general case, right? So the claim that I made was that if a system is reachable, then this always works. So let's just do one other thing. Let's just do a check. Let's calculate out the reachability matrix for this and just see, is it turn out to be reachable? So the reachability matrix here is B. That guy. And then AB, multiplying those two. So just take this vector times this, and you're going to get a 1 in the top and nothing else. And this is, in fact, always full rank. Doesn't even matter what alpha is. Alpha could be 0, negative, positive, doesn't matter, right? This column is always independent of this column because the 1s are in different spots. So this is full rank. I can place the eigenvalues arbitrarily. We now want to, in fact, show the opposite. That, in fact, if the the reachability matrix is full rank, then I can put the eigenvalues anywhere I want for any arbitrary system. All right, so to do that and to show that, we're going to introduce a rather handy canonical form. So remember that when we were studying stability of linear systems a week ago, we talked about the Jordan canonical form. We now want to define a different canonical form called the reachable canonical form. And we say that a system is an input-output system, linear input-output system, is in reachable canonical form if it can be written in the following way. Dx by dt equals this, and all zeros here. All right, so this matrix is, Sorry. Okay, this matrix is the top row is minus A1 up to minus AN, some numbers, and the sub diagonal, one below the diagonal, is all ones. Okay, and everything else is zero. Plus, so this is X, I can probably put it here, plus something times U, and the something is one, zeros, all the way down to zero. And then the output, in the right order, is B1, B2, out to BN times X. So A1 to AN, B1 to BN are arbitrary real numbers that define the system. It's in reachable canonical form if those numbers, if the A and B matrices and C matrix, ABC matrices match this specific form. All right, so why is that a useful form to look at? So, if you calculate out the eigenvalues of that A matrix, well, the characteristic equation of that A matrix, then it turns out to have a particularly simple form. A n minus 1 s plus a n. So it's an exercise to go show that that, in fact, is the characteristic equation for that matrix. But notice that the coefficients of the characteristic equation are exactly, this is the s minus 1 coefficient, s minus 2, all the way down to the constant. Right? And you just have to be careful about the minus signs. So one thing about reachable canonical form is that its characteristic equation is in a particularly simple form. Another thing about this is that the reachability matrix is relatively simple to calculate. In particular, what's B? So that's just 1, 0, right, like that. What's AB? So take this vector times the A matrix. It's minus A1, 1, 0, something like that. So this is B, AB. What's A squared B? Well, in the first row, it's going to be A1 squared minus A2. I'm just going to call that star for a second. In the second row, it's going to be minus A1. In the third row, it's going to be 1. And if you carry this through, you're going to get a little bit of a mess up here, but on the diagonal, you're going to get all ones. Right? And so it's immediate that this is full rank, right? Because the columns all have to be independent because all of them have only one place where they have a 1 above the diagonal. Right? So there's no way to have a linear combination of these columns equal to any of the other columns. So it's full rank. So reachable canonical form is always reachable, good thing for a canonical form, and it has a particularly simple characteristic equation. It also has another neat property, which is let's go calculate out what A minus BK is. So let's suppose that I choose K equal to K1 up to KN. Then if I multiply that out, then A minus BK looks like what? Well, B times K is just K1 up to KN and zeros every place else. Right? Because B only has a 1 in that top row. And if I subtract that from this, then I get minus A1 plus K1 minus A2 plus K2 all the way out to minus AN plus KN. I get nothing changes here, so I get 1, 0, 1, right? 1, 0, like that. So what's the characteristic equation for this? Right? So lambda of s for a minus bk is s to the n plus a1 plus k1 s to the n minus 1, etc., all the way out to an plus kn. So for a system in reachable canonical form, it's quite clear that I can arbitrarily set the eigenvalues, right? Because I can arbitrarily set the coefficients of the characteristic equation. If you tell me I want, you know, the eigenvalues to be lambda 1 up to lambda n, I'll just calculate out, right, this particular, minus sign, sorry. So if you tell me you want eigenvalues equal to that, I'll calculate out this particular polynomial. That should be the characteristic equation. That will, of course, give me coefficients for, right, the s to the n term is going to have coefficient 1. All the other ones are going to have some number that depends on products and sums of the eigenvalues. You tell me what that number is. I set k1 such that a1 plus k1 is equal to whatever the number in front of the s to the n minus 1 term is. I set k2 in a similar way, k3 all the way up to kn. Okay? All right, so there's a theorem here that says if ABC in reachable canonical form, then can arbitrarily place closed loop eigenvalues. Right? Okay, so for a system in reachable canonical form, I can arbitrarily place the eigenvalues wherever I want. And it's reachable, right? So that's part of the way of saying if a system is reachable, here I've just said if it's in reachable canonical form, then I can design the dynamics to be whatever I want them to be. Everybody follow that derivation? All right, so there's a missing piece, which is, you know, maybe my system's not in reachable canonical form. And so as you might guess, the other part that we're missing is that any system that's reachable can be converted via state space transformation into reachable canonical form. If the pair AB is reachable, then there exists a transformation T, so an invertible matrix, such that Z equals TX converts the dynamics into reachable canonical form. In other words, Z dot is T X dot. T, or X dot rather, is AX plus BU. X is T inverse Z. I And so I claim that I can find a T such that this looks like reachable canonical form, and this looks like reachable canonical form. All right, so I'll sketch the proof of this in a second, but this gives me a way to find the gains K for an arbitrary system. All right? So let me let's see how I want to do this. Right. Okay. So let me first just tell you what T looks like so that you see why it is that we have to get things to be reachable. So I'm going to make one slight change, which is I'm going to put a tilde over this guy. So what I mean by WR tilde is, I mean the reachability matrix associated with reachable canonical form. This transformation T is equal to the reachability matrix associated with reachable canonical form times the inverse of the reachability matrix associated with AB. Right? So if AB is reachable, so this WR is B, AB, up to A to the N minus 1B. Okay? So here you see that if it's reachable, this will be invertible, right? Because it'll be full rank, it's a square matrix. So if a system is reachable, then I can form such a T. From such a T, I can convert it into this form. In this form, I can set the eigenvalues arbitrarily. So I need to do one other piece. My eraser go? And that is to actually write down the final solution for the gain matrix in all of the right form. So let me do that. I think I want to do that by calling this guy. Let's see. Got to get my notation right. Okay. So let's call this here, K tilde, meaning this is the set of gains in reachable canonical form. K tilde. All right, so now let's go solve the whole problem. Suppose I have x dot equals ax plus bu, y equals cx. I'm solving the part where I want to place the eigenvalues. I'm finding the value k. What I want to do here is I want to find k such that a minus bk, the eigenvalues of that, right, are equal to whatever desired values I have. All right, so here's the procedure. One, convert to reachable canonical form. In other words, set a new variable z equal to t times x, where t is equal to the reachability matrix for reachable canonical form times the reachability matrix for AB inverse. Yeah?
Doesn't the reachability in canonical form depend on what t is?
It doesn't actually. Oh, good. Great question. Right. So, good point. So, I missed a piece. Yes. So in order to figure out reachable canonical form, I still have to know what the T is in order to do that. Oh, good. So you pointed out something that I left out. Thank you. Step one. Compute the characteristic equation for A. All right. And note that the characteristic equation for, so this is the characteristic equation for A. What's the characteristic equation for the product of three matrices? Okay. So remember that determinants of products, right, are products of the characteristic equation. So it takes a little bit of work, but you can show that this is equal to 1 over the characteristic equation of t. Oh, sorry, I got to do this differently. Sorry. Right. I'll do it differently. Note that the eigenvalues of A are the same as the eigenvalues of T in T inverse TA T in, TA T inverse. Okay, why is that? All right, so this is a little bit of a claim. All right, so this is a claim. Okay, here's the proof. Let lambda comma v be an eigenvalue pair so that AV equals lambda v. What set, so if I have this transformation T, any transformation T, set W equal to T times V. Notice that TA T inverse W is equal to TA T inverse W is V. AV is lambda V. Right? So AV is lambda V because V and lambda are an eigenvector and eigenvalue. I can pull the lambda out front. I get TV in here. TV was just W, so this is lambda W. So this says that if lambda was an eigenvalue for A, then lambda is an eigenvalue for T, A, T inverse, for any T, doesn't matter. It's always true. The consequence of that is that the characteristic equation, which is just built up from the eigenvalues, is the same for A and T inverse A, T, or T, A, T inverse. The consequence of that is that from lambda N of S, that implies that I get A1 up to AN in the reachable canonical form. Right? Why? Because the characteristic equation for this, if I tell you what the characteristic equation is, I can just read off what the coefficients are. Once I read off the coefficients, I have this. So great question. So I have to calculate this first, plug those in, that gives me the reachability matrix in reachable canonical form. Okay? All right, so that's step one. So compute the eigenvalues, use that to choose A1 up to AN. Or compute the characteristic equation, use that to choose A1 up to AN. Step two is to choose coordinates. Z equals TX with T equals WR tilde, I now know that, and WR inverse. That I calculate from my AB matrix. Now I can design my K tilde for reachable canonical form. All right, what that will give me is Z dot A in reachable canonical form Z plus B in reachable canonical form U, and U equals minus K tilde Z. This will give me the desired closed loop. Now what I need to do is, I have U in terms of Z, but I have Z in terms of X. So I set K equal to K tilde times T. Right? All I did there was I said, look, U is equal to minus k tilde z. Z is equal to t times x. So that is my gain matrix. So what this procedure does is, if I give you an arbitrary reachable system, then you can convert that reachable system to reachable canonical form using this transformation and plugging in the coefficients of the characteristic equation of A. You can then calculate via this procedure over here, right, what the gains are, and then you can transform the gains back so that they're multiplying not Z, but multiplying X. Right? That's roughly that's an implementation of the place command, right? You give me an arbitrary system, I do all these transformations, I transform back, I give you back K. Alright? So one thing you ought to be able to do, right, is to write your own place command. If you do that, one thing you'll find out is this is very numerically ill-conditioned. Okay? So for large matrices with different things, it's not a good way to do it. There are better ways of doing it, and the place command uses those better ways of doing it. Alright? But you can do this for a symbolic system, for example, if I didn't give you numbers, but I gave you something. You can also just sometimes plug in the gains K, K1, K2, K3, and just solve it out. That's the same, right? So either way, this just shows you can always do that. All right? All right, so I don't have time to go show why this is the correct transformation, but that's in the text. So take a look at it, and you'll see there's basically a theorem there that says this transformation converts it, and it derives it out and shows exactly why that's the right one. All right? Okay, so one thing, an exercise to do is to go back to the predator-prey problem that I used, and I've just walked you through all of the theory that's behind those MATLAB computations for predator-prey. I calculated it out, right? Remember there what I wanted to do was I wanted to set the reference value of the number of hairs to be 20, right? And so I went through, and there's actually MATLAB code. It does all of the things that are on the boards here, right? Okay, so from now on, we're just going to say, if I've got a reachable system, I can set the eigenvalues arbitrarily, right? And it's just a matter of figuring out where we want the eigenvalues to be. And we'll talk more about some of the design of those systems and things that we can do, right? So that's the plan. Okay, let's see. Before people leave, a couple of announcements. One, MATLAB policy. We've had a couple of questions on it. When you turn in your homework sets, you need to show us the work that led to your answers. If you used MATLAB to do that work, you need to show us the MATLAB that you used to get there. If the TAs don't see it, they don't know how you got there. If the answers aren't right or whatever, they'll take off points. So just like not showing your work, right? Please make sure you turn in whatever MATLAB you used. Another announcement. We're going to have a meeting with the ombuds. That's Ashley. Where'd Ashley go? Ashley and Dave. Where'd Dave go? Dave back there. So we're going to have an ombuds meeting, Mary and I, we're going to have a meeting with the ombuds on Friday. So if you have comments about the class, you know, here's things that should be fixed or done differently or whatever, one way that you can get us feedback is to talk to Ashley and Dave. We will also have a survey on the midterm that you can fill out that gives another way of doing it, whatever you're most comfortable with. We're trying to think about what are the things that people aren't understanding, we're doing too fast, etc. So that happened on Friday. We're going to rearrange the recitation sections a little bit to kind of match attendance. The Wednesday recitation section is going to be the one that's used for the course project. That's Wednesdays at 8. So, all the course project people know that. Other people are welcome to come, but we're going to really focus on the course project. And Mary's going to tell us what the rest of them are going to do. Right. We're having relatively low attendance at the recitations, which is why we're cutting one out. Totally different than a year ago when we had huge attendance. And so the recitations are there to help you understand the material. So if you're asking lots of questions in office hours or other things, the recitation sections are there to help present additional material that didn't get covered in smaller groups where you can ask things. Okay, last thing, the midterms are sitting here. I'll put them outside so you can grab one. Instructions are on the front. 2.5 hours open book, and book defined very carefully on the front. I should be careful. It's 2.5 hours for CDS 110 students. The 101 students probably aren't here, but it's 1.5 hours for those. I think the number of points added here is correct, but don't worry if they're not. It's whatever the points are. But read, it'll say CDS 101 only, or CDS 110 only, or CDS 101 and 110. Okay, so you should be able to tell for each problem whether you're supposed to do it. You are allowed to use MATLAB or a calculator for numerical calculations. You are not allowed to use computers for symbolic calculations. You shouldn't need the computers for symbolic calculations. There's nothing complicated going on. But if you do symbolic computations, make sure you carry them out by hand. That's just to make it, you know, sort of even across everything, right? So that people who use MATLAB don't have an advantage over people who don't. Yeah, or Mathematica or other. Question?
So is something like the place commands be
if you're putting numbers in there, it's okay, all right? And as you might imagine, the examples will be ones where the numerical computations aren't that hard, right? So you can use it if there's something like that. Any numerical computation is okay if you're just calculating out, you know, 7 plus 9. You can type it into a calculator just as easily, right? But yes, that's okay if it's numerical. Place won't work with symbolic ones anyway, so. Yeah. You can use the internet only to access the license for MATLAB and the things that are on the course webpage, nothing else. What's allowed for course text is listed here. One last bit on this is, it's due on Friday, or due on Friday, due on Tuesday, 5 p.m., end of finals, or end of midterms rather. Do us a favor and please use a blue book. We get 80 of these exams and we have big stacks of them, and when you just staple your stuff together, you know, what happens is it's a little harder for us when we're shuffling things around and tossing around the table and grading them. So please, if you can't afford the, how much does a blue book cost these days? A quarter? Okay, if you can't afford the quarter, right, send me an email and I will give you a quarter to buy a blue book because it will simplify my life by a quarter, okay? So please do them in a blue book. It really does help us out. I mean, and I know it seems silly, but it really does help us. Yeah?
Do you want us to staple the
You don't need to put, there shouldn't be any MATLAB code, right, because you're just doing numerical calculations, so there shouldn't be any MATLAB code. And one thing on this is, if you have a plot, like you plot something out in MATLAB, you need to replicate the plot sort of handwritten out, okay? So handwrite everything in the blue book, again, just to kind of keep things even, okay? Good, that's it, and the midterms will be out in front. Oops.